This episode of Mining Stock Daily is brought to you by Contact Gold. Contact Gold is a gold exploration company focused on leveraging its properties, people, technology, and capital to make district-scale gold discoveries in Nevada. Follow the company on their website at contactgold.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in to Mining Stock Daily. We have some market commentary as the bell has just rung. The markets are closed. I'm on the line here with our friend David Earfley, the junior miner junkie. David, we could have just gabbed and gabbed back and forth of what happened today, so we just said stop. Let's press record and make sure everybody gets a chance to catch their breath and just...
Well, yeah, it's it was due for a bounce. You know, it was getting pretty oversold. You're a subscriber. You saw I warned you guys a couple weeks ago that once the President's Day holiday came around and China's Golden Week was happening, it was going to be thin markets. So the bears were kind of licking their lips and rubbing their hands together, saying, you know what, we can try to get it down to that November low during Golden Week in China because the whole country's closed. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, they were able to do that. And then gold bounced at its November low right after China Gold Week ended on Thursday. We saw some buying come in Friday. And then today we saw a lot of buying coming in, but I think a lot of it was short covering. You know, I'm going to have to see more follow through tomorrow to convince me that a lot of this wasn't short covering. But it's looking very good. You know, the fundamentals, of course, remain long-term bullish. But it was that yield, those yields that were rising. That was the big bugaboo for gold. You know, that the 10-year reached a major a former support area around that 1.36, mm-hmm. 1.35 area, and that was really strong support going back to like 2012 to 2019, and it's back testing that area. And, you know, people are starting to wonder, you know, when's the Fed going to implement that yield curve control program? And I don't think they want to see it get past anywhere past like 1.5%. And, you know, Powell's going to be on at the Capitol Hill compound the next couple days talking to the Senate. And, you know, they're going to ask him about that. So if he even hints that, you know what, we got to start thinking about that yield curve control program, then gold's really going to pop. So it's really going to be an interesting.
Yeah, I do want to talk to you about the latest moves in bond yields here in just a minute, Dave. But, you know, this is just the first day of a long week, right? We're getting down to the monthly close here this week on Friday. And this is, I mean, obviously today on Monday, this was a good move, but it's still 42 bucks away from some key moving averages, including the 50-day moving average. I mean, you want to see more of this throughout the week, because my concern is if this is just a one-day thing, maybe it's not to be terribly exciting.
No, not at all. You can't get excited until you see some follow-through with volume. Yeah. You know, I would really like to see a strong monthly hammer candle on Friday with gold solidly above 1850 and the GDX solidly back above that 36-37 area. That would go a long way to convince me that, hey, we've probably seen a bottom here. You know, it's going to be really interesting, like I said, because, you know, this the today, even the gold price ran up, what was it, like 25-30 bucks, even though it moved up closer to that 1.4% area. It was the weak dollar that's rolling over again that really helped gold today, and also, you know, that short cover. Yeah. So, but yeah, and you mentioned silver. Silver, that's one to really watch, because, you know, last week we had silver testing its upper weekly Bollinger Band, and gold's closing on its lower weekly Bollinger Band. You know, silver has been really strong. Silver stocks have not really kept up with it because, you know, they ran up so much ahead of it. But if take a look at the SILJ, it's trading at at 52-week high territory still, even though, you know, we had that short squeeze pop a couple weeks ago that faded into the distance quickly.
Yeah, and you know, David, I actually just minutes ago tweeted out, I was like, I am more excited about this move in silver than I was two weeks ago. Because this seems more along a move based on better fundamentals than it was just frenzy and hype.
Absolutely. Yes. That's what we want to see. We don't want to see silver going up on frenzy and hype. We want to see it going up based on the fundamentals. And what was telling us that this 3 day short silver short squeeze that they attempted was going to fail was each day the retail sector would run the silver price up, and then big money would come in and sell it down, and the day would end with a black distribution candle.
Yeah,
that happened, I think, on Friday, and then finally on Monday, when silver got to that really strong resistance level at 30, that was wrote when they raised margin requirements 18% at the end of the day.
Yeah, and this close above $28, it just sets a really good foundation for a bigger move this week. I'm almost wondering if we can get to $30 by the end of this week. And if gold, and
yeah,
if
it's gonna be,
you know, if silver finally plays catch up with gold.
Right. Yeah. And you got to also throw into the mix, Trevor, that it's options expiration on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And if you take a look at the CME delivery report, deliveries continue to rise. On Friday, I haven't got the results for the report today, but on Friday there's 35,000 contracts in gold that are set to be delivered, and that's 3.5 million ounces of gold. And silver, it's getting close to 2,000 contracts. And, you know, there's 5,000 ounces per silver contract. So, you know, physical delivery. People wanting physical delivery, that brings even more pressure on the physical market. So, you know, I mean, you're still seeing really high premiums in silver at Ampex. Is right around, I think they're still around 45%. So it's really going to be an interesting week. Yeah.
Yeah. So stepping away from precious metals, you know, maybe a general conversation quickly about the base metal complex. Clear signs of sector rotation today. S&P was down 0.75%, so 0.75 of a percentage point. Tech stocks, NASDAQ, down over 2.5%. Tesla, just the floor dropped. Big, like almost down 9% today. But Dow Jones in the green.
And the transports.
Yeah.
And the transports are trading at all-time highs also. Yeah. You see all these charts, you know, the Buffett chart that's floating around out there, that how overvalued the market is, you know, and the more people talk about how overvalued the market is, and the more they talk about how it's going to crash, it keeps going higher. So, you know, the VIX just continues to drop. There is just no fear out there. It's completely risk on. You know, they're really close to passing this $1.9 trillion stimulus package. You know, you got Janet Yellen come out last Thursday on national television begging for more stimulus. You're probably going to have Powell doing the same thing the next few days here on Capitol Hill. So, you know, it's risk on continues. But like you said, yeah, it's the tech sector and the S&P were down today while the Dow continues to rise. You know, the Dow, a lot of these foreign investors, European investors, you know, they pile into these Dow blue chip stocks that pay big dividends, as opposed to, you know, putting it in their own markets that. You know, it's very scary what's going on in the European Union over there with these negative interest rates that aren't working. So, you know, the best market is still the U.S. stock market. So, the more people cry that it's gonna drop, and the more the bears get squeezed, it just keeps going higher.
We mentioned it before. The U.S. dollar, the Dixie, continues to fall while bond yields continue to rise, and this is obviously has played a big role in the movement in the equities market, the general equities. We mentioned the 10-year just moments ago. That's up to 1.37. It's not a 52-week high, but it's pretty dang close just looking at the calendar, because that's when the 10-year just really dropped, because we're about a year from when COVID really hit. Mind you, so this is about it, Dave. And the 30-year made another 52-week high today. That's at 218. And let me ask you this, and I know you're not on Twitter, but I pose this to my Twitter followers as well, so I'd love to get your thoughts. What's more concerning to you, the rate of the rise or the rise in the bond yields themselves?
I think it's the rate of the rise. You know, I mean, if you bring it back, bring back the 10-year, and take a look at where really strong support used to be, around 1.4, 1.5.
Yeah.
We're getting close to that. And I just don't see the Federal Reserve letting it get much past 1.5%. I mean, you know, it's the debt, the huge debt, and that would come under pressure with those yields rising so much. I mean, that they would not be able to handle that. You know, that the stock market would not be able to handle that, and the Fed would come in and start manipulating. I mean, that's all they do now is manipulate. So I think gold is starting to sense that now. We'll see. Like I said, you know, this is just one day. Like I said, I'm going to have to be convinced. I'm going to have to see the follow through to be convinced that this was more than just short cover.
Is there opportunity to use the junior explorers as a way to maybe trade this move potentially?
Oh, you know, trade this move? Well, I mean, I'm more of an investor now that it's a long-term bull market. You know, basically what I like to do is I like to buy and hold and trim positions once they get too large, and occasionally switch something out if it becomes overvalued or if it looks like it's going to fall even more. I mean, this is a great time to accumulate, especially developers that you think that are on a takeover watch list, that use a base case of $1,250, no more than $1,250 gold. But there's even more value in the more optionality plays of the developer explorers that are de-risking huge projects, but they use a base case of over $1,350 gold. Those things are being sold. And also a lot of drill plays are being sold. Because, you know, a lot of these drill plays that don't have a defined resource, all they do is consume capital, and they haven't defined a resource yet. And especially if they get cashed up recently and those shares became trading, a lot of those are being sold. So there's quite a lot of opportunity out there. You just got to be careful on which ones you choose to invest in. You got to do a lot of due diligence, because Trevor, you know, as you know, there's one thing that the bear market did in the juniors, the 8-year junior bear market did not do, was it did not clear out a lot of these lifestyle companies.
No.
Most of them are still out there.
Yeah, no, it did not. For as loud as people were preaching that needed to happen, it never seemed to come to fruition. You know what? That's a whole conversation for another day, Dave, because
it is.
There's a lot of finger pointing that could be made in that case. Real quick, I do want to kind of get your general sense here. I had a conversation with a good friend of mine who's an epidemiologist who gets a lot of data that obviously I don't see. And he mentioned that the vaccines are increasingly becoming more effective. There's good reason to believe that not only is it keeping people safe and healthy, but there's also some decent data saying that potentially it's keeping the virus non-transferable, which is very, very good news. On kind of the backdrop of COVID, do we see an economy potentially opening up? Numbers are getting lower. COVID cases numbers are getting lower. Travel seems to be picking up. I mean, we just saw an airplane engine fall out of the sky here in Denver over the weekend. So obviously people are flying again. but what's this opening up of the economy if we do finally get there and people are feeling safer to get out? What does this mean for the metals market? Do you see more inflation in values in the base metals and the precious metals?
Yeah, that's the thing, Trevor. What the reflation trade is being priced into the market here, but not the inflation trade quite yet. So I think the stagflationary situation is gonna come into play. Because you know the economy is still weak, but these prices are continuing to rise in most of the things that I buy. And I think that's going to continue, especially when all these stimulus checks hit the street. And especially in stocks, you know, because a lot of these people, a great read. I don't know if you read a lot of the posts, but a lot of the Reddit posts, people were posting about the GameStop and why they were being involved in that short squeeze. Some of the stories of people of their generation, you know, I mean, they watched their father turn into an alcoholic, lose his job, whatever, in 2008. And they're like, I don't care. I'm just going to, even if I just buy one share of GameStop, I got to do something about what all these people that got away with what they got away with. Nobody went to jail for all these crimes. And while they destroyed all these families, and it was really interesting to read these people's stories, it was heartbreaking. And their mentality was like, I don't care. I don't even care if I lose money. So I think what they're going to do is with a lot of these stimulus checks, it's not a lot of money. They're just going to put it into the stock market via their Robinhood accounts or whatever. And I think a lot of that is going to start to come into the precious metals because the light now has been shined on the precious metals a bit because of this, all the publicity that it got because of this attempted short squeeze. So like you reiterated earlier, it's, you know, this, I'm looking forward to the subsequent move now. And it is getting back close to that $30 level. And once that 30 level breaks, Trevor, once we get a weekly close above $30, I mean, in past history, when it's gotten over that level, only a few times in the past, 40 years, it's ran to $50. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised to see silver at $50 within the next couple months even. A part of me wants to see it, but a part of me doesn't want to see it because, you know, since I'm involved in making money in this sector via juniors, I like to see a slow, steady climb higher. You know, I mean, I don't want to see a parabolic blow off too soon. Yeah. You know, I mean, with the Hunt brothers, when they were pretty much successful in cornering the market for a time, they got it up to what is a nominal price today of $150 silver. And that ruined the silver market for over 20 years.
And David, maybe we're lucky in that aspect. So back in the last few days of January, during the frenzy silver squeeze, when there was that huge move up to $30 and then back, you know, mm-hmm. that was not a healthy move. But what we've seen in the last 2 or 3 weeks since then, it has been a great healthy move.
Yes. It's riding the upper weekly Bollinger Band, which is what you want to see.
Very good.
That's what you want to see. And, looking at the chart, it's amazing. If you take a look at the silver chart and the gold chart, it's you'd be hard-pressed to believe that they're both precious metals.
Yeah. David, great conversation. We'll leave it at that. I know you've got other things to get to this afternoon, but appreciate your time and all the thought. I know there's a lot that goes into it. And your newsletter, subscribers got that on Friday. Be sure to read up on it. If you haven't, if you are not a subscriber, go over to juniorminerjunkie.com to inquire about a subscription. David, thanks again. Have a lovely weekend and happy birthday to your little boy.
Thanks a lot, Trevor. Always great to talk to you.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decision.